Baker claimed Johnson asked him to provide presidential protection, so he set up a shield around the chief. There was some question whether Johnson asked Baker for the guards and whether Baker had another reason for assigning detectives to the White House. He later said he had sent his men to the executive mansion to spy on Johnson at the request of Stanton. It was that spying, along with the heavy-handed tactics Baker had used during the war, that finally landed him in serious trouble. The pardon broker business was out of control in Washington. Scores of shady operators set up shop in the Capitol, preying on gullible ex-Confederates whose cases did not fall under the general amnesty the U.S. Army granted, as well as unionists seeking relief for past offenses, convincing them that for a hefty fee they could get President Johnson to grant a pardon. In reality, the new president would have given the pardon much more readily if the applicants brought their requests directly to him. His anterooms at the White House were jammed with people seeking favors, and like Lincoln, he believed he must see all who called on him. He had a soft spot for pardon brokers, said a journalist who covered him, and he was liberal with his pardons. Baker reported that of the 123 people he arrested during his time with the new administration, 93 were pardoned by the president. One of his detectives guarding the White House reported to Baker that disreputable brokers, many of them females, swarmed outside and inside the building day and night, clutching pardon papers for the president to sign. Baker discovered these brokers prowled the city's hotels and bars, advertising they could procure a pardon within 12 hours for anyone willing to pay a fee, which could be as much as $1,000. He also picked up gossip that Johnson's son, Robert, who was an alcoholic, had become an easy mark for the pardon brokers, who occasionally paid him off to obtain his father's signature. Convinced he needed to protect Johnson from this unscrupulous lot, Baker decided to target one of the pardon brokers with a sting operation. Mrs. Lucy Livingston Cobb was 26 years old, uneducated, and considered low class in Washington. After her brother died in the Battle of Gettysburg, she opened a cigar store on Pennsylvania Avenue and briefly served as a nurse in one of the city's hospitals. She married Joseph Cobb, a Treasury Department auditor who had an inflated sense of his importance, and wrote Johnson numerous letters he labeled Sub Rosa, identifying men he thought were administration enemies. Lucy had the right attributes for a scam artist. She was a beautiful and voluptuous woman with dark eyes who knew how to turn on the charm. On Capitol Hill, congressmen, pages, and policemen were friendly to her. She became a favorite as well at the White House among secretaries, doorkeepers, the president's son, Robert, and even Johnson. In the winter of 1863, Baker evicted the couple when a landlord complained they hadn't paid their rent. The next year, Baker arrested Joseph, who then worked as an assistant Navy paymaster, on a minor offense, and jailed him briefly in Old Capitol Prison.